Welcome to our podcast where we share our hearts behind each of the songs we have written, as well as speak on our experiences as worship leaders.
Our hope is the same here on this podcast as it is with our music, and that is to point people upward and inward as we explore the nuances of faith and devotion to the way of Jesus. Welcome, everybody, to the first podcast. This is the first episode of the podcast, and I'm here with my wife. We are here, and really, we wanted to launch these episodes, this podcast, with an introduction to who we are, what we're about, and what this podcast is hopefully going to be about, and to what it could stir up in our hearts, your hearts. And really, this podcast is going to serve as an extension to our music and the heart behind our music, our lyrics and faith and all that comes with those terms. So maybe we could start off with an introduction of ourselves on a personal level, where we've come from and our background with music, and we could even jump into background with worship leading. We're both worship leaders. I'm on staff at a church, and my wife is home raising our beautiful son with another on the way, and she jumps in on leading with me. So yeah, I mean, there's so much to go into all of that. If we want to just start off the top of Kristen, what's your background in music? Where did it all start for you?
Yeah, I remember, since I was a little girl, I would always sing with my mom, just around the house, folding laundry. We would sing worship songs. I used to love singing. There's just something about that name. It's an older song. So we would sing that song. We would sing I Love You, Lord, just like the simple songs. But they had so much meaning to them. And I think I just loved how I felt when I would sing them and the closeness I would feel with my mom. And my home was very musical. I have 8 brothers and a sister, and we all range in our ages, of course. And yeah, just growing up with classical and jazz influence and rock and Brit pop and
some of those Brit pop bands.
Oh, I could get into it.
I know, the Verve
and Oasis and the London Suede and David Bowie, the Beatles, of course. That's more classic Brit rock, I guess. And also a lot of oldie but goodies. And I forgot to mention U2. Love U2. So when I was around, I want to say I was 8 to 9, we were at a church in La Habra, and there was a worship leader there. He would lead this song called When God Ran. And every time he would sing this song, but anytime he would sing any song, it was so powerful, and it just moved me, and it marked me to want to do what he was doing, to want to sing and lead people into to experience heaven. And the song is usually, I want to say more country. The guy who wrote it, his name is Benny Hester, but Robbie Nero, who would sing at the church we were going to at the time, it was mostly just him and his keyboard. And he had so much power, so much soul, and it just felt so real and authentic. It was beautiful. That song really means a lot to me. And like I said, it marked me to just want to pursue leading worship. And my dad put us in lessons all at the same time. My brother Maddie went into bass lessons. I went to voice and piano lessons, and my brother John went into piano lessons. We kind of like would always play together, or we would do jazz songs together. And when I was around 16, we're at a different church at this time, and I joined the worship team. And that was a really bold move for me. And I just felt like I just need to do this. And that's where I met you. And I was a part of this worship team until I graduated high school. So from 16 to 18. And I learned a lot during that time. I want you.
Yeah. Well, that was your joining the worship team, the debut of you singing in front of people beyond your family, right?
Well, I did a couple, what are they called? Recitals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a couple recitals.
But stepping in front of your peers and at 15, 16, yeah.
Yeah, with people you actually know and see on a regular basis.
You know, it's interesting hearing you share all of that because I've known you since we were 15 and we started dating at 16. So a lot of those origins for you are so overlapped with my origins as well. My music journey, you know, I grew up going to a private school my whole life from preschool. My preschool all the way through my middle school years were at a Assemblies of God small school / church. I didn't attend the church, but it was just, you know, the school, private school we went to, small class, graduating class of eighth grade of maybe 20 kids. So, but music there was interesting, a lot of tambourines and clapping and just really putting on a CD player. There was never really live music. But my origins of what I gravitated towards, I remember my first album I ever purchased, I think was Linkin Park, their first album, Hybrid Theory, which was just amazing. And I remember getting Offspring. And then definitely a lot of Limp Bizkit. I do have an older brother who paved the way of some pretty trashy music. Sorry, Fred Durst. But you know, you just know. But the music always for me was wrapped up in what did I feel listening to it beyond the technicality, you know, later the fascination with the technicality of music and me first being a drummer. Mm-hmm. It was always about the emotion I got from music. And so, you know, there's so much angst in Limp Bizkit and Korn and all of this like rap music that I would listen to as well. And then by the time I was graduating middle school, got really into like post-punk, screamo, a lot of angsty music, which I still love today. And I don't even think it was until I was around 16 that I knew that there was worship music that actually had progress beyond the art form of, or not just orchestral, but vocal. Mm-hmm. Like I just thought it was, if you're going to sing at church, it's just stale, hokey stuff. And looking back on a youth group stuff, it was hokey, the songs, but we
tried to make them more.
Yeah, we did what we could, you know? So I got a drum set when I was, I think 14 or 15, and it was just such a cheap drum set, hand-me-down pieces that weren't even supposed to become a drum set. And then I learned Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield, played that on the drums, and then started joining these small bands that never did anything really. Hardcore bands, learning the double kick it was all about that. And then I started drumming for the youth group. A friend invited me to the same church you started going to, and I started drumming and you started singing. And then, you know, we just became acquaintances and your family opened up their door to the youth to have extra nights of learning about God and little Bible studies. And there was just like this core community that would gather around the piano in the living room. And really that to me was the origins of having access to a piano, having access to as a drummer, now there's an acoustic guitar. I didn't own one at first, and now there's one I could pick up and just play a riff on, try to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because I never was put into lessons or anything. So it was all just navigation of trying to mimic what I heard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we started playing in the youth band together. It wasn't structured in a way of, hey, listen to this song and copy this beat. It was more of like, here's how the melody goes and here's the chord pattern that the leader would do. And I would just, well, I'll just do this beat. I remember we'd always start the song. These drummers who are learning would start the song with one, two, three, da da boom, boom. And it's like all in that 90 BPM tempo. I just remember it was such good times and weird times as well, being young and being in front of peers. But yeah, over time, I want to say a span of 2.5 to 3 years, I started picking up the guitar more, piano more,
bass.
And started understanding just the harmonic structure behind these patterns that I saw on guitar more than I saw the notation of how this actually works.
Right.
But just like, oh, capo, great. Mm-hmm. And worship music became the origin for learning music for me, as far as the harmonic structure and even writing. And yeah, I think as I started to move away from drums, always still played drums, but started to dip my toe into now trying to sing, trying to be Chris Carrabba. If you could sing high, then you're a good singer, and that never worked. And then I think over time, singing at your house with all of our community of friends, you know, we didn't like each other as more than acquaintances that we would tolerate with our mutual friends, and your brothers I became close with, right? Mm-hmm. So around 16, really coming to our own as far as we can actually stand on a stage and lead some songs, and people were, it didn't have the American Idol vibe of, in the sense of like, oh, they're just like, oh, the cute kids are doing something, but seemed to be interesting validation. And I think as we began dating and we actually started to sing more together and practice these songs more together and figure that out, we started leading naturally more together.
Yeah.
And back to the validation, at the church we were leading at, in the youth group and just a part of the life of that church, they got a new worship pastor. I think he was probably in his, you know, mid-40s at that time, and had such an interesting musical background, had like his Steely Dan roots and this very old school way, like the Rhodes and these chord progressions, G over A, and not these cookie cutter, the beautiful cookie cutter, where, you know, these songs where worship music, then the trajectory of where we're at now, it started to get to the very simplistic and yet beautiful. But he was still in this very, you know, let's throw in these diminished chords and these minors, going from major into the minor. And so that was, as much as I didn't like it, it was so stretching.
Well, he basically pulled us into the main worship center.
Yeah.
And he took us under his wing, and he just started to put us on rotation. Every single Saturday, we would show up for rehearsal every Saturday morning. And then we would sing the songs the next morning for Sunday. But he would prepare us during the week. He would burn CDs of every single song that was on the worship list for that Sunday. And so we would have like, you know, Blessed Be Your Name and...
This is the air I breathe. Yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah.
The first song I ever led.
Oh my gosh.
In front of a congregation at Big Church. What is it?
Surely God is with us.
Surely God is with us. And there's a line in there that says the whores all seem to love him. Right?
Yeah.
So this is a narrative-driven song.
You were just excited to sing for the first time in front of everyone, so you didn't turn it down. And we were just excited to to be there and to be a part of the team.
Yeah. Yeah, he really brought in structure as opposed to what we were doing in the youth room, you know, guitarists and their electric guitars.
Yeah.
In their half stack.
Right.
Crate amp, doing open chords with full gain on, you know.
We did the best we could. It didn't sound that bad. But he always gave us parts and he always told us to come ready.
Yeah.
Don't come like that you need to rehearse or like unpractice, basically.
Yeah, it was always, I think it was the Thursday or sometime during the week, we would get a literal packet.
Yes.
As the worship team, you got a packet. It was a stack of the music that he would print.
Yes.
The burn CD.
Yes.
And said, these are the keys we're doing.
Yeah.
When you show up Saturday, it's rehearsal, it is not practice.
Yes.
And he had a military background. He was so structured and he wasn't shy to say, why don't you know your part? You didn't show up the next time without your part.
Yeah. Yeah. And all the female vocalists had their parts, their harmonies, their low and high and their tambourine part and also their oohs and ahs. So
definitely oohs and ahs.
Yeah.
Mentioning the Steely Dan love.
Yes.
You get some oohs, you get parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it taught us so much and it taught you so much with how you lead your team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this man really put in the roots within us of how do you steward this gifting well and to really show up and really strive for excellence.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's fun thinking about.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Good times. And around that same time, around 16, I was involved in a women's shelter ministry where me and my brothers and a few other friends would go over there, lead worship, just minister in song, basically. And then when we got together, I would invite you to come, and you did, and you brought your guitar. We would practice beforehand and like lead three songs. And I believe that just doing just simple songs, sometimes, you know, the keyboard wouldn't work, or we didn't have the right power, we didn't have the right amp or the right plugs or whatever. And we would just have to sing a cappella, and it didn't really matter. They were just ready to be there, all in, ready to worship and to receive anything, whether we sang Jesus' name above all names or I love you, Lord, or Amazing Grace, just the beautiful, simple songs. They were just all in. I know that really touched me, and I believe it really, at that time, touched you and marked you.
Yeah, that time really did mark me in the sense that when I lead worship, I constantly go back to those times. And even though we were so young, to may not have had the words or even the awareness of what was just happening, but what we felt, what we walked away from those times embodying and affirming in our soul, mm-hmm. is witnessing the state of these women who were coming off of drugs, just at the end of the rope, or maybe they were beaten or whatever it was behind their story. It just didn't matter what we were doing. Mm-hmm. It really didn't matter if we were excellent. It didn't matter if we sang a particular song or not. And I even remember at one point something wasn't working we would bring this big keyboard amp that we would mic everything up and had multiple inputs, and we would try to just do everything with that. But one of the women just started clapping on tune four, and they started singing this random song. I think it's like You Can't Get to Heaven in a Taco Shell or something like that. And all the women, it's just like, it was obvious that they had their own form of worship since they all knew it and were singing like, oh, they do this alone. They do this before the experts come in and lead them. And, you know, looking back to those times, it really marked us to want to foster the posture those women had in the places that we find ourselves leading, in a culture of worship leading and of church that has this, really this country club preference driven like vibe to it almost. We weren't raised in the large church environment where excellence was the marker rather than what is the state of the congregants in their posture towards the world around them and what they expect. And so there's times and if you step into a church where there is a culture of cheerleading, you accept that position for a while. But for maybe this is just the worship leader hat. Any advice of don't allow that trap to become your job title of the stage zealot. Really try to see your job as the one who is providing a beautiful aesthetic. You know, if you have the tools in place to do that, do put your best foot forward to just create this space for people to come and worship God in the way that they know how. But at the end of the day, you can't be responsible for what they do on their own time. We can just provide the runway for them to encounter God if they want to. So that was kind of a sidebar, but that time really significantly marked on what are we aiming for as worship pastors? And it's can't be excellence, although we want to do that.
I remember that we were a part of, you know, the main service on Sundays, and then during the week we would do, you know, like a Celebrate Recovery, we would do the women's shelter. We were kind of the team to do it, but also we were happy to do it. And we were very excited to do the Overcomer ministry, or that was always something that we were looking forward to because of their hearts of just like, we're here and we're all in versus other hearts that can be, what can you guys do for me? And it was something that was very encouraging in our young worship leader days. And I think it's still something that we have like a little a standard even now. And you're still part of that ministry at your church, at our church. And it's something that you still love to do.
Yeah. It's interesting being part of a small community for so long. And then, I've led in multiple different places and guest worship led. Mm-hmm. And I just remember the first few times I started to hear from individuals, the moment after leading, critique from the congregants of, oh man, I wish you would have did this song. And, or just comments like that word I've never heard before was just, that was the first time I realized that, oh, there's a different culture. Mm-hmm. Of places of worship out there. And that was interesting to say the least. But maybe we'll, in an episode later on, it would be interesting to talk about our falling out with this church and as what does falling out look like with worship leaders and just as artists and as we seek validation and as we seek all these things and we're very human and turmoil and even religious trauma we've been through would be, I think, interesting and maybe give some language for some people and worship leaders in particular, permission to feel what they need to feel.
Yeah. Breath, breathe them in, let it go and let them in. Lift your hands, worship him. Come and rest. Take a breath, breathe them in, let it go and let them in.
So maybe we could fast forward to where we're at today. And I'm a worship pastor on staff, and you're currently not working. You're doing side things with art, and you're raising our son while I'm at work. And I'm
growing a baby in my belly.
Right. What's life like now? Obviously, going into releasing music, finally. And I say that word finally, maybe you have the better pulse on what finally means?
Well, we've been sitting on, I want to say, half of these songs. We have 12 songs. For like, I want to say almost a decade that we've been writing and then scrapping them and then coming back to them. Oh, wait, that is kind of good. Keeping it, changing it. I do believe that since we were 16, we always had a dream that, you know, God's given us these gifts and a calling to share and bless people. And I think we even got more confirmation with sharing some of our songs with our church that we're at now. People want to hear them, and they want us to record them. And they'd say that they have had a moment where that song really blessed them or touched them, or it was the song that got them through the week. And it kind of really, okay, like, we need to actually do this. We need to...
Let's extend what we can't. We, you know, we write songs and we've performed them live, but never recorded them. And then
right.
Now with people saying you have to, and it's more of
you have to do this.
Yeah, it's okay. It seems like there's a desire from those we lead to extend beyond the platform on one day a week when they can engage with songs that are birthed out of that community. And that's when we're going, okay, well, let's figure out how to do this. You know, I know my way around recording software, and I've been doing that for so long and pumping out music, but it's always been for other people.
Yeah,
which
other
is,
projects.
I love that. I like being in the background and producing and arranging. But I mean, I'm not going to go into the psychology and why I'm so resistant of releasing my own stuff, but that's a later episode maybe. But
I feel that it's time. It's been time. We're overdue probably by a couple years. And I love that we're able to talk about our songs because I'm a person that loves the backstory and I love closure so much. And I love hearing about the ins and outs of why the person wrote those lyrics. And do those lyrics mean what I think they mean? And tell me what they mean. And I think that's what we're going to be diving into.
Yeah.
And our hearts behind the lyrics and the songs and all that. So.
Look at that segue. I love that. That was perfect. Yeah. Well, to talk about, you know, what is to come as this is, you know, we're coming to a close of this episode as really an introductory of who we are. And we were able to just go back into the memory lane of that. Mm. But really what's to come is we want to take the songs we are releasing and go through the lyrics of them and really where were we at when we wrote them? Really, what's the story behind the song? What do those lyrics mean to us as the writer, where we were at? And what they can mean for other people as well. And what sparked a conversation, like there's a few that I'm even thinking of that I'm excited to talk about of conversations with people at our, in our faith community that really wrote for these people that they would have never, to this day don't know it's for them or it was inspired by their story or songs out of my own and severe panic and anxiety disorder. And so getting into what is this journey of why we're writing these songs and to really bless the community. And if people extended beyond our faith community are blessed by it, we're just stoked to hopefully bring something good and beautiful and true to the world. So that's what's to come on this podcast and these episodes and sneak peeks of those songs and perhaps a different arrangement or a acoustic version that could be within these podcasts as well to maybe it becomes an exclusive thing. But is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up? I mean, I could tell people how to connect with us, but is there anything beyond that?
Yeah. So I believe that actually the next podcast we're going to be doing, we're going to be talking about the song, The Cross of Christ. So that's going to be fun and exciting. And I think that's the next episode. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for that one. Your hands worship him. Come and rest. Take a breath. Breathe him in. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining with us and listening to our conversation. And we are excited to put out more conversations, again, as we said, centered around our music. And in general, we want to cover topics of worship leading, faith, and the nuances of faith, and that wide spectrum of what that could mean. And so if you could do us a favor and like and subscribe to this podcast and rate it and comment, all those things that put us on the map a little bit, that would be so helpful for us, as we would love to just share our hearts with as many people who are willing to come and listen. And so we will be putting as much as we can in the show notes to link to all the things that involve what we are doing. And so, yeah, I'm so excited for the next time we put out one of these, for it to be centered around the song, The Cross of Christ. So I'm excited to share all that with you, and we'll see you on the next one. Let it go and let him in. Lift your hands, worship him. Come and rest. Take a breath, breathe him in. Let it go and let him in. Lift your hands, worship him. Come and rest.